All right, Shabbos, say good morning. We have an incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We are picking up on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So we'll say, so our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors to the month of Cheshvan, Adam Yehudi Ben Zev, in Ilui Nishmas Moshe David Ben Shalom, in honor of Adam's grandmother, Helen Nachman, his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant them Arichus Yamim Vishonim. And I will say, with that, let us begin. So we are picking up, we left off, bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis. And we left off, I believe, good. My muf. So we'll say, I think we left off my muf megabi behema, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, if you remember again, in yesterday's daf, we were discussing the idea that the last piece of the Mishnah, which was hamapeles kamin behema, if a woman miscarries something that has the appearance of an animal. So if you remember again, in this case, the Mishnah said, Tanakama said that she's Tameya. Rabbi Meir said that if there's no tsuras havlat, if the whatever is being expelled does not have a human form, she's not Tameya Leida. So what we were discussing was the Svarav the Rabbanon. So very simply, it was a Gzereshava. A Gzereshava of Vayitzer, between people, between man, creation of man, and the creation of animals. So because of that, because of this connection, ultimately again the Rabbanon rule that if she expels something that looks like an animal, she is Tameh Tumas Leida. The Gemara then asked, but I don't understand, why don't you make a Gzereshava ultimately from man to Taninim, to large sea creatures? To which the Gemara essentially explained, because the Gzereshava doesn't work. Why not? Because it's not Mufne. We'll say it's not open. So the Gemara says, here we go. So the Gemara says, Gabi Taninim Eina Mufne. My Mufne, Gabi Behema. We'll say, what does it mean that it's Mufne by Behema? Ilema Nidich Sivayasa Lekim Es Chayasa Aretz. Uksiva Yitzer Hashem Elokim Min Adama Kol Chayasa Soda. Gabi Tanin. Nami Afnuye Mufne. By sea animals, by sea creatures. It's also Mufne. We'll say, Mufne means that the word is open, available for a drasha, and not used for anything else. So the Gemara says, by taninim, you could also see it, tichsiv, ve'es kol remes ha'adam, oksiv, v'yivar lekim esat taninim agdolim, remes tichsiv hasam diabashu. We'll say to which the Gemara says, because the remes that is written over there is referring to sea creatures. Umay nafkamina, be mufna mitzadecha lemufna mishnei tzadin. So we'll say, so remember again, what is a nafkamina, what is the practical difference with making a gzera shava, where one side of the Gzeres Shava is open, is Mufna, and the other is not, versus Gzeres Shava, where the words are open on both sides. Nafkimin Udon Rav Yehuda Mishmo Mishra Bishmo, who says as follows, Kol Gzeres Shava, Shein Mufna Kolikar, Ein Lemein Dinei Menor. We'll say any Gzeres Shava, which is not open at all, which I will say means that any Gzeres Shava, any situation where you find two words or two phrases in two different contexts, but those words and phrases are used for something else already, ultimately, again, that is not a valid gezeira shava. You can't use that. Mitzat mufna mitzat echad. We'll say, what happens if one side is open and the other side is not? The Rabbi Shmuel, the main devei mashiv. According to Rabbi Shmuel, this is a bona fide gezeira shava, and you can't refute it. The Rabbana Lamedino Mashivan. According to the Rabbana, however, you could use it, but ultimately, again, it can be refuted. But yet, Mufta Mishneit Stadim. But I will say, if the Gzera Shav is open on both sides, then what? Divre HaKol Lamedin Ve'in Mashivan. Everyone agrees, I will say, that if the Gzera Shav is open on both sides, the Limud is good and cannot be refuted. Rabbi Shmuel, Ma'ika Be'Mufta Misadecha Lamufta Mishneit Stadim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the chilik between a Gzera Shav that is Mufta Misadechad versus Mishneit Stadin? Rabbi will say, if at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Shmuel, even if it's Mufna Mitzad Echad, it can't be refuted. What's the chilik? Nafkamina Hecha Di'ika Mufna Mitzad Echad, Mufna Mishneit Stadin. Shafkina Mufna Mitzad Echad, top of the Kaf Gimel, V'afina Mufna Mishneit Stadin. So what's according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you have a choice between a Gzera Shava that is Mufna Mitzad Echad and a Gzera Shava that is Mufna Mishneit Stadin, you will choose the Gzera Shava that is Mufna Mishneit Stadin. Therefore, I will say the Torah purposely leaves out, or I should say the Torah purposely structures the Gzeres Shava between man and Behema. The words Vayivra or Vayitzer are open on both sides to teach you that what? Nigmar mufna mitzat echad. So we'll say, so such a Meir says as follows, that halacha l'maaseh, you have two gzeirah shavas. There is a gzeirah shava ultimately again between Adam and Behemah and between Adam and Taninim. What's the nafkamina between the two? Between the two is that the gzeirah shava between man and Adam is mufna mishnei tzadin and by Taninim mufna mitzat echad. Therefore, when there is a choice, I will go with the gzeirah shava that is mufna mishnei tzadin. I will learn out Adam from Behemah, or I should say Behemah from Adam, and ultimately again not learn out Taninim ultimately from Adam. Good. And therefore, I will say, therefore, again, yielding the reality, according to Rabbi Meir, that if a woman expels something that looks like a behemoth, she'll be tmeya tumas leida, but if she expels something that looks like a tanin, like a sea creature, she will not go ahead and be tamei tumas leida. Ravacha b'ri d'rava, masnila mishmei d'rebe lazar l'kula. So Ravacha b'ri d'rava interpreted this statement, according to Rebbe Lazar l'kula, kol gzir shavash in a mufne kol ikar, l'meidin umashivin. Any gzeirah shav, Rabbi will say, that is not open at all, in other words, that the words are used for other things, you can make the limud, but the limud is easily refutable. Mufna mitzad echad. What if the gzeirah shav is open on one side and not on the other? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, the Meidivei Mashiach, Rabbi Shmuel, ultimately, again, you can learn it, but you can't refute it. The Rabbanon, the Meidin umashivin. According to the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, if it's mufna mitzad echad, the limud is valid, but halacha l'maase can be refuted as well. Mufna mishnei tzadin. What happens if the gzeir shava is open on two sides? Divrei hakol lemeidin ve'ein mashivin. Everyone agrees that ultimately what? Lemeidin, you can learn it, and it's irrefutable. So here we're just in this version, we're just mixing up the opinions a little bit. So the Rabbanon ma'ika bein mufne mitzarechel she'ena mufne kolikar. According to the Rabbanon, what's the chilik then between a gzeirah shav that is mufne mitzarechel and one that is not mufne at all? Meaning each of them are refutable. Nafkamina heichad the mishkachas la mufne mitzarechel v'she'ena mufne kolikar. So the Gemara says v'lav lahai isle pircha v'lav lahai isle pircha. Shavkinon she'inan mufne kol ikar v'gamrinan mi mufne mitzad echad. So we'll say, so the Rabbana will say that if you have a gzir shava that's not mufne at all, and a gzir shava that's mufne mitzad echad, but there's not a pircha being asked on either one, you'll go with the one that is mufne mitzad echad as opposed to the one that's not mufne at all. Okay. V'hacha my pircha ika. So we'll say over here, what would be the pircha? What's the refutation we could ask ultimately on this gzir shava? Ika mishum the ikal mifrach mala adam mishavose. So what is on the pircha that we could ask ultimately again by dogim or by behema? What would be the pircha? Here's the simple. So even though I can make a gzeirah shava technically between adam and behema and between adam and taninim, what is the potential? What is the potential pircha? Mala adam shekim betame mechayim. I will say here's the fundamental difference. Adam has the ability to what? To become tame while he is alive. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shekim tame mechayim mekabel tuma bechayov misharetz or mishar tumos. That ultimately, again, a person has the ability to be mekabel tuma while he's alive, either from a sharetz or from other tumos. Dinhu shetehe yoldoso tamei aleida. Tomar be'elu hilchach gabe dogim parchina le de mufta misad echadu avaga behema afag of the pircha lo parchina la homufnu mishnesan. So we'll say, so that would be the pircha. The pircha is that Adam is different than anything else because Adam has the ability to become tami while he's still alive. Chin amra bichia bar abba amra biyochanan. Hainu time during Meir. So we'll say again, we're giving additional source for Meir. Remember again, so Meir in the Mishnah is telling me that halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah disagrees with the Tanakhama, right? And Rabbi Meir says that if it's not min Adam, if what she's explaining doesn't look like a person, then she's not tamei tumas leida. So the Gemara says, "Ho v'nem Rabbi Yitzira ka Adam." Ultimately, again, since it says Yitzira ka Adam, Amar the Rabbi Ami alame ata. So I'm sorry, this is different Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir over here who's saying that halacha lemaisa. So apelles kamin behema will be tamei, but not mapelles kamin taninim. So what's the logic over here? Alameatos, why is it? What's the reason, Rabbi Meir? Because by Behema it says Yitzira like Adam. It says Yitzira by Adam. It says Yitzira by Behema. To tell me that what? That Allah Alameisa, if Mapelas come in Behema, shall be Tameya. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Amrali Rabbi Ami, Alameata, Hamapelas de Mushar. Imo Tameo Leda. So we'll say if that's the case, if a woman expels something that looks like a mountain, she should also be Tameo Leda. Why? Sheneemar Kihine Yotzer Harim Ubore Ruach. Because I will say the pasuk says hine yotzar ubare ruach. So ultimately, again, meaning what we find over in this pasuk in Amos that the Navi uses lashon of yitzira by a har. So it says yitzira by a har, yitzira by an adam. So if she's mapelas kamin har, she should also go ahead and be tamei tumas leida. To which the Gemara says, okay, but amar le har mika mapelas. A woman can't exactly expel something that looks like a mountain. The most she's going to expel is what? Evan, he did come up Hellas. At most, she'll expel something that looks like a rock, not like a mountain, and that's not called a har, rather hahu gush ikri. Also, that's called a gush, right? That's called a mound. That will not be called a mountain. So, meaning, even if your gezeira shava is technically correct, at the end of the day, the metzias is such that it's never going to actualize. Elamiato hamapelas rachte imo tmei leida. So we'll say, so again, using your logic that you can make a gzera shava of yitzira yitzira to adam, and therefore anytime you make a gzera shava should be tamei tumas leida. If a woman expels wind, and I've also remember again, ruach is the lashon that we use for what? For anything essentially that is not a pregnancy. Not a pregnancy, and it might not even have all that much mamashas to it. Nevertheless, she should be tamei. Why? Hoyo v'ne'am rabo bria ki adam. We'll say because by ruach it says bria. Dichsev ubore ruach. Pasuk says we'll say bore ruach. It's the same pasuk in Amos. V'chitema lav mufne. Maybe you'll say, well, that's not open for gzir shava. Why? Midhamne lemichtav yotzer harim v'ruach uksev ubore ruach. Shmamina la'afnuye. So we'll say the fact that the pasuk goes ahead and could have said Yotzer Harim Viruach, could have said God creates mountains and wind, but instead it says Yotzer Harim Ubore Ruach. That extra bore is an extra word. It's open for drasha purposes. Why not make a gzir shav between Ruach and Adam and say just like she's tamei tumas leida if she expels a human form, she'll be tamei if she expels Ruach. To which the Gemara says Amalei. Danin divrei Torah mid divrei Torah, vein danin divrei Torah mid divrei Kabbalah. We'll say to which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. That we're going to go ahead and learn out biblical concepts, ultimately again from biblical sources, meaning from Torah. But we're not going to go ahead and learn out biblical concepts, ultimately again from divrei Nevi'im. Divrei Kabbalah in this context means the Navi. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Arachana." We'll say, "Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, second wide line." Amar Rav Arachana, Amar Rav Yochanan. How many times Rav Meir? We'll say, "What's Rav Meir's logic?" The hoil ve'einehem domos kishal adam. The reason why, if she's mapil, something that looks like a behema, ultimately what she's going to be tamei tumas leida is ultimately again because an animal's eyes resemble human eyes. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. Hoil ve'einehen shal chaya ve'behema domos l'shal adam shachar sheba'ayin hava agul kebehema bebehema kishal adam aval dedogim lav agulhu. So we'll say, so it's about the pupil, right? The pupil of the eye of a behema is round, just like the pupil of a human being, and therefore there's this commonality, as opposed to ultimately again dogim, which do not have that same type of pupil, and therefore again she'll be tamei tumas leida for a behema, but not for dogim. So the Gemara says, alami ata hamapelas the most nachash te imo tamei leida. So if that's the case, that it's about the pupil. So if she miscarries and looks like a snake, she should also be tamei tumas leida. Why? Hoil v'galgal ino agula kishal adam. So apparently, the pupil of the eye of a snake is round, like the pupil of an eye of a person. So maybe you'll say that's correct, and that if she's mapil something that looks like a nachash, ultimately again she should be tmeir tumas leida. So the Gemara says, why not listen nachash? Why don't you include nachash in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, itana nachash hava amina bin nachash hu dupligira barna leid Rabbi Meir to look sid be yitzira. Because it will say ultimately again, if it would have said nachash, I would have thought that's the case in which the Rabbanan argue in Rabbi Meir. Why? Because it will say by nachash there's no lashon of yitzira. Ava behema v'chaya lo pligi dichsiva be yitzira. But by behema and chaya, they don't argue because it says yitzira. Therefore, in order to avoid that erroneous conclusion, the Torah doesn't state nachash, rather it states chaya and behema. But 1 second, it says, but yet, Rabbi Meir in the realm of mumin, right? Ultimately, again, when it comes to Mumin, we spoke about this, and what did we say? As Shagalgal Eino Agul Kishal Adam. It will say in the list of Mumin, look at Rashi for just a moment. Gabi Mumin Tanila, Kilomar, Hechi Amrit Da'ain Behema Domala Adam, Vahag Gabi Mumi HaBachar. It will say in the list of Mumin by a Bachar, by a firstborn animal, one of the Mumin that's stated is what? As Shagilgal Eino Agul Kishal Adam. If the animal has a round eye, like a human eye, that is a mum, which tells us that what? That is not the normal derech of an animal to have a round eye like people. Yet you're just saying before that that is the derech, and that's actually the reason for the gzeirah shava. To which the Gemara says, no, lo kashkana, two different things. Haba uchma, habit sira. To which the Gemara will say two things. Rashi says, uchma is shachar sheba'ayin. That refers to the pupil. Right? That's the black in the eye. That's round. And that's round in animals like it's round in people. So what's the mum? Vahadetani dehave mum, bitsiri, or bitsira, makom mosha va'ayin. I'm going to say that's the socket. The socket, the eye socket is round. But ultimately, again, by an animal, the eye socket is not round. So that's the mum, I will say. If an animal has an eye socket that resembles a human eye socket, that's the mum. But the eye itself is always round like an adam. So let's remember again, all of this, we're trying to figure out what's the svara to say that if a woman is mapil something that looks like a behema, she's going to be tamei tumas leida. And if it's true that if she's mapil kimin behema, she's tamei tumas leida, then why only behema? Why not other things as well? So we're trying to show ultimately in these different opinions as to the nature of the commonality between people and behemoths. There's a lot to speak about on that Indian. But here we're trying to figure out again, Galagabe Tumas Leda, why there would be this connection. So we'll say over here, it's because of the similarity of the pupil of the eyes. Good, Rabbi. And we'll say, remember again, everything is rooted in Gzeira Shava. That's where this comes from. It's all about the Gzeira Shava. We're trying to figure out from a Svara perspective, what is it that links animals and people to more than ultimately, let's say, people and some other creation. Rabbi Yana, Amar, Hainu Tam, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yana says, what's Rabbi Meir's logic? Hol ve'enem holchos lefem kishal adam. So we'll say, so the other reason is because animals, their eyes, holchos lefem. Rashi says, Lafuke dogim deinem b'sidehem. So we'll say animals have their eyes in front, just like people, as opposed to other creatures. He says, for example, fish, which may have their eyes on the side. Animals and people have their eyes on the front. Vahare of. What about birds? Deein ain of holchos lefanov. So birds don't have eyes, quote unquote, in the front. So which means Rabbi Meir to tamei, and yet Rabbi Meir holds that if she's mapil kamin tzipor kamin of, she's tamei. Amra Abaye, no, Bekaria Vikifufa. Ultimately, again, it's telling that Karik Rashi says, Of Hatsoik Balaila, Upanav Domos Lechatul, Vein of Lefanov. So I don't know what type of birds these are, but the Kari and Kifufa apparently are types of birds that have eyes in the front. So that when Rabbi Meir says, ultimately, that's what? That when. I'm sorry? An owl. An owl. Good. Good. Excellent. Good. Okay, anyone else? Good. Owl, good. So we'll say, Karyan Kifufa. So we'll say, a spotted owl. Okay. Is that North American? Or? Okay, good. Excellent. So we'll say, thank you. So we'll say, what we have over here is as follows. So the Gemara is giving us a very limiting idea, which is that when we say that the bird, that she's mapil kimin oaf, that it's tmeya, that ultimately, again, it's actually a very specific type of bird. Only a type of bird, ultimately, again, with eyes in the front. Ubishar ofos lo. So you can tell me then that ultimately, again, with other ofos, if she's mapos, unless it looks like some other oaf, i.e. a type of oaf that doesn't have the eyes in the front, then she will not be tmeya. Meisve, here's the problem with that. Rabbi Chanir ben Antigonus Omer, Nirin de Rabbi Meir, Mebehema v'chaya. Rabbi Meir's opinion seems to be correct. Ultimately, again, when it comes to behema and chaya, v'divrei chachamim ba'ofos, and we'll follow the chachamim, i.e. that she won't be tamei tumas leida when it comes to ofos. My ofos, we'll say, what ofos are we referring to over here? Ilema bekaria v'kifufa, if you want to say it's with these specific type of birds that have their eyes in the front. Maishna behema v'chaya de'enein hochos lefnehen kishal adam. Kariyo v'kifufa nami. So we'll say, if that's the case, again, if you're going to tell me that the unique aspect of behema and the linkage between behemoth and Adam is the fact that both of them have their eyes in front, so why would you exclude birds that have their eyes in front as well? To which the Gemara says, elok shita b'shar ofos. Rather, again, when they say that she is not tamei tumas leida, if she expels something that looks like an oaf, it's talking about other birds. Michlad Rabbi Meir Palik, which Rabbi says sounds like Rabbi Meir argues even in that case as well. Michlad Rabbi Meir Palik b'shar ofos, which makes it sound like Rabbi Meir argues even in other birds. Rabbi Meir would hold that Allah Kalamaisi, even if she exposed it, it looks like other birds being even birds that don't have their eyes in the front, she would still be tameya. To which the Gemara says, this exchange is missing a vital piece, and here's how you have to explain it. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Nirin div Rabbi Meir bebehema v'chayo. Rabbi Meir's position, Rabbi Osai, is clear when it comes to behema and chayo. That if she expels sin, looks like a behema or chayo, she will be tamei tumas leida. V'hu adin l'karyo v'kifufa. And Rabbi Meir would agree in the case of a bird, karyo v'kifufa, that in that type of bird which has its eyes in front, that she would be tamei tumas leida. V'divri chachamim b'shar ofos. By far the chachamim in the realm of other birds that do not have their eyes in front, but have their eyes on the side. Have their eyes in. Have their eyes on the side. That halacha lemaisa, would not go ahead and be tamei tumas leida if she expels it and look like them. Because we'll say even Rabbi Meir does not disagree in general with birds that have their eyes on the side. He only disagrees with what? With birds that have their eyes in the front, that therefore resemble people. Again, the Rabbi Meir would say, just like chayu and oaf, if she explosively and looks like them, she is tamea because they resemble human beings in the aspect of the eyes. So too, if she explosively looks like a karya vikifufa, birds that have their eyes in front, she'll also be tamei tumas leida. But if she expels any other type of oaf, type of look like any type of oaf, she will not be tamea. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, but we learned, Amar Lazaroi Sadok, Hamapeles min behema vachayo. If a woman expulsing looks like a min behema vachayo, what's that look? Different Rabbi Meir, Vlad. Current Rabbi Meir, ultimately again, it is a Vlad, which means she's tamei tumas leida. Well, different Chachamim ain't a Vlad, but according to the Chachamim, ultimately again, it's not a Vlad. Uba ofos tibadek. And also, when it comes to ofos, you have to check what was expelled. To which the Gemara says, Leman tibadik. What does that mean? According to who? According to who, ultimately, again, are we checking? So the Gemara says, Leman tibadik, lav de Rebbe Meir, damakariya v'kifufa in, shar ofos lo. We'll say, it must be that it means we're checking according to Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir will say, if what? If she exposed it looks like a bird, what's her status? What's her status? It depends. What does it depend on? What does the Vlad look like? If the Vlad looks like Karya Vikifufa, i.e. eyes in front, she'll be Tamei Tumas Leida. But if it looks like a different type of bird, she will be Tahura. Amrav Acha Breidrav Ika. Lo, Tibadik L'Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, he says, no, it means you have to check the Vlad according to the Rabbanon. The Amri, Karya Vikifufa in, Shar Ofos Lo. Umayshna karya v'kifufa mibehema v'chayo, hoil v'yesh lohen listos ki'adam. So we'll say, interestingly enough, now in this suggestion, the Gemara is going to suggest that according to the Rabbanan, it could be that the Rabbanan would agree, listen to this, the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanan who generally say, the Chachamim would generally say, that if she is ma'pechselis like a chaya and a chaya and behema, she's tohora, would agree in the case of Karya Vikifufa that she would be Tameya. Why? The Gemara says, Hoel V'yeshan Lestos Ka'adam. Because the Vosei is actually very interesting. So apparently, again, when it comes to Karya Vikifufa, they have cheeks. Listos literally are cheeks, like a person. So according to the Rabbanan, interestingly enough, the Karya Vikifufa seem to be the type of birds that Halacha Lamai. Does it work with the owl?
It's an owl.
Good. So we'll say, so again, apparently the owl has cheeks as well. Right? So again, because apparently, what the Rabbanan are saying is that the face of the owl, apparently most resembles a human face. So mostly, this is actually, according to this interpretation, that's actually quite fascinating. So according to this interpretation, you see, up until now, we've always been assuming that Rabbanan hold anything that doesn't look like a human, ultimately, again, is Tahora. The shell has been in Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Meir holds Chaya and Behemoth, she's mapped almost like an animal, she's Tamea. Birds has been the point of contention of Rabbi Meir. Does Rabbi Meir hold all birds, no birds, some birds? So that we kind of settled on Rabbi Meir holds Kariya Vikifufa is Tamea. Why? Because their eyes are in front. Rabbi saying in this version, we're totally mixing it up. In this version, Rabbi Meir is going to hold, ultimately, again, Behema, Chaya, oh good. The Rabbanan, who normally hold that it has to be a human form in order for her to be Tamea, well, the one exception to that rule will be if she expels something looks like a Kariya Vikifufa. This is these birds. Why? Because apparently because these birds ultimately have cheeks and probably also the eyes are in front, therefore, halacha l'maisa, they look human-like, and therefore, again, even the Rabbanan will say that she'll be Tamea. Pretty amazing. Barmin, it was an interesting Gemara. Barmin, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Zera. So also, Rabbi Meir asked Rabbi Zera the following question. The Rabbi Meir, da'amar behema b'may isha v'lad ma'al yahu. So also, listen to this fascinating question. Rabbi Yirmiyahu asking Rabbi Zera, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a behema b'may isha, which means we'll say what? That if a woman is carrying a fetus that looks like a behema, that looks like a behema, we'll say, so what's the halacha? Vlad ma'al yuhu. Ultimately, again, this is a proper vlad. According to Rabbi Meir, we'll say again, this is a bona fide vlad. Vaharaya, if the, when the baby's born, what's the status of the mother? She's tamea to masleida. We'll say, listen to this. Kibel ba avia kidushin mahu. What happens if the father accepted kiddushin on behalf of the fetus? Now, both say, now remember, you can't accept kiddushin on behalf of a fetus, but what it's saying over here is that when the fetus is born, when the kiddushin will be chal. So the father makes arrangements. This is the answer to the shidduch crisis, by the way. Right? In utero betrothals. Right? So halach l'maisa, the Gemara says, what happens if the father is makabel kiddushin for the fetus? If you want to say that even though it looks like a behema, ultimately, again, it's still a vlad. What happens if it's makabel kiddushin? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What does that mean? Mau. L'may nafkamina. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, what exactly does this mean? So the Gemara, look at Rashi, we'll say for just a moment. Actually, not yet, I'm sorry. What will be the nafkamina? It's because we'll say, we're assuming over here, by the way, that halacha l'maisa, that this fetus doesn't normally survive. So the Gemara says, l'may nafkamina, l'suri ba'achosa. So we'll say, I jumped ahead a bit. So we'll say, what would be the nafkamina over here? The nafkamina would be that if the, watch this, let's say the father is mekabel b'kiddushin on behalf of the fetus. Right? So the fetus is born, so what happens? What that would mean effectively is that what? The man who was mekadesh, the baby, now that the child, okay, let's make this easier. Ruvain's wife is pregnant with this behemoth fetus, right? So Ruvain is Mekabel Kiddushin on behalf of the fetus. The fetus is born. We'll call it Shimon is the Mekadesh. Shimon is the man. So what's Nafkamina? The Nafkamina will say that if the fetus has another sister, ultimately, again, Shimon would be Asur to marry that sister, because that would be Achos Ishto, to which the Gemara says, L'meimra dechaye. I will say this presupposes that this fetus lives. Right? I will say, again, remember, this whole discussion of a fetus that looks like a behema has always presupposed that what? The fetus dies. Right? The fetus dies. We're asking about Tumas Leda. So I'll say, you're going to tell me that it lives? So I'll say, yet Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, that what? Rabbi Meir only dash. And I will say, actually very interesting. Rabbi Meir, this is really a fascinating distinction that we're going to focus on in just a bit. Rabbi Meir Rabosei, who says that when a woman gives birth, when a woman expels a fetus that is kamin behema, that she is tamea, tumas leida, that is only in a situation, just follow this, where if the behema was carrying the fetus would have been viable. See, okay, so just for example, a woman gives birth to a fetus that looks like a cow, right? So I will say, so Rabbi Meir says she's tamei tumas leida. When is she tamei tumas leida? That if a cow was carrying this fetus and the cow gave birth at the same time that the human mother did, the cow fetus would have been a healthy, viable fetus. That's when Rabbi Meir says that ultimately, again, the mother is tamei tumas leida. So we'll say, but again, but the idea over here is this fetus is not surviving. This fetus is not living. So what's the whole question? So we'll say, listen to this. Elo hoyel ubamino miskayim. The Gemara says, so what's the question over here? We'll say, this is an incredible Gemara. Amar Ravacha Rav Yaakov, ad kan hevir Rabbi Yirmiya l'Rabbi Zira lidei gichuch v'lo gochich. And we'll say, the truth is what was happening over here. Rabbi Yirmiya was trying to give Rabbi Zeira a little bit of a laugh. This was an attempt at Beis Medrash humor. So as we all know, Beis Medrash humor often falls short. Right? So we'll say, so over here, so Rabbi Yirmiya was trying to make Rabbi Zeira laugh a little bit. So he was asking him, ultimately, again, this ridiculous question about being Mekabel, right? What do you think about this, right? Being Mekabel Kiddushin on behalf of the Behema fetus inside of a human mother. So I'll say, but the Gemara says, didn't work. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Zira is not left. Rabbi say, if you take a look at Rashi, it's actually quite amazing. Rashi lidei gichuk, schok. So Rabbi Yirmiya wanted to make Rabbi Zera laugh. He wanted to make him laugh. Bechol tachbulos halalu asak Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya went through all of these tachbulos, right? This whole mental exercise. Lahavi Rabbi Zera lidei schok. But Rabbi Zera didn't laugh. Rabbi say, why didn't Rabbi Zera laugh? Well, number one, it's not funny. But number two, right? He says, the aser la adam shimale piv schok. Rabbi Zera machmir tfei. So we'll say this is incredible that there's an element of a concept that there's a concept that a person should not be mamali piv b'schok. Don't be a letz. So there are some people who spend so much time with leitzanos, with silliness, with foolishness, and a person has to be careful. Not Rabbi Zera was very machmir with this. Rabbi Zera was very machmir not to engage in any form of leitzanos. So what's happening over here is something amazing. Rabbi Yirmiya essentially felt that he's got to lighten up a little bit, right? You have to lighten up. You can't always be so serious. But apparently Rabbi Zera said, yes, I can, right? So it's just one of these incredible exchanges over here. And I'll say, listen, if we had more time, you know, there's so much in this because we have this concept of asra the adam shi male schok piv, right? Or piv schok. Person can't fill his mouth with schok. And I was about to say, There's a place for laughter, but not a place for silliness and foolishness and constant leitzanos. That balance of seriousness but happiness, right? That balance between seriousness and ultimately, again, the ability to laugh. You see that Chazal often struggle with this. So whatever the reason, I'm sure there's a backstory to it also, Rabbi Zera took a very hard stand on it and wouldn't laugh. Rabbi Yirmiya felt he had to lighten up a little bit. Incredible. So Gemara says as follows. Kuf Amar Rabbi Yudam Rav. Lo Amar Rabbi Remeir. Elo Hoel Ubamino Miskayim. So let's remember again. We just gave a very important qualification of Rabbi Meir, which is a fascinating one, which is as follows. When Rabbi Meir says that if a woman is Mapil Kimin Behema, that she's Tamei Tumas Leida, that's when only if the same type of fetus, if carried by an animal, would have been a viable fetus. Then according to Rabbi Meir, when the human mother gives birth to it, even though it's not going to be into a viable fetus, the human mother will be tamei tumas leida. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yirmiya, midifti, amadeis, Yirmiya midifti, af anan nami tanena." We also learn this as well. Hamapelis kimin behema chayi va'of. If a woman expels, right, kimin chaya behema va'of. So we'll say, first of all, interestingly enough, you notice over here that we are going ahead and including oaf in this discussion as well. So the Gemara says those three words, the words are erased according to the Agos Tzionim. So the Rebbe Meir. So we'll say ultimately again, if a woman is Matil, min chaya behema an oaf, ultimately again, she will be Tameya. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over the Rebbe Meir, Reishom Sechas Bechoros, Vahachi Katani Yesh Bechor Lenachala, Ve'im Bechor Lekoin. Ve'kachoshi Ve'ozom Apelos Min Behema V'chaya V'of Ha'ba Acharav Bechor Lenachala, Da'hai Lav Bechorhu. Legabe nachla d'lochayis. Well, says we're going to see over here. We're going to discuss these halachos legabe inheritance. So we'll see in just a moment. So mapelas kamin behema chayvov direi meir. Chachamim omrim ad shehe bo mitzuras adam. The chachamim say that a birth is only a birth. Ultimately, again, when it looks like a human being. So, I just want to point out, according to Rabbi Meir, if a woman is mapil behema chaya and of haba acharav. That which comes after it is bechor for nachala, bechor for inheritance, but not bechor for pidyon. So we'll say it's actually quite fascinating because we sometimes assume that the definition of firstborn for inheritance, i.e. pishnayim, is the same definition as bechor, ultimately for piyun, for redemption. And what the Mishnah says over in bechor is that we learn this, is that that is not necessarily the case. You could have a situation of a bechor who is a peter rechem for piyun haben purposes, but is not a bechor for nachala purposes, for inheritance purposes. So for example, Meir says that if a mother expels a behema, chaya, and oaf, that birth is a bechor for pidyon purposes. So that is the pederachem. Therefore, any baby that comes after it, ultimately, it will not be the bechor, but that is not the bechor for inheritance purposes. So if she's mapil, let's say behema, chaya, and oaf, or behema, aicha, not all of the above, but one of the above, right, so we'll say, so therefore, again, then she has a baby boy afterwards. That baby boy who was born is not the bechor for pinyon, so that baby does not need a pinyon, but that baby boy will be the bechor for nachala. Chacham say, no. Any birth that doesn't look like a human being is not a birth. It's not a birth. It's not a birth for pinyon, and it's not a birth ultimately for nachala. V'hamapeles, sandal, oshalya, oshafir, merukam. So we'll say, but if a woman miscarries a sandal, now we'll say, sandal literally means a piece of flesh that doesn't look like a human being at all. Sandal literally means a shoe. She's just mapula, a piece of flesh. Oh, shalya. Ultimately, and shalya means a placenta. Oh, shapir marukam. Or ultimately, again, a developed fetus. A developed fetus. Vayotzi mechutach. Or I will say, meaning human limbs come out. Right, so an intact entity does not come out, but human limbs are coming out. Haba acharav bechor lenachala ve'ino bechor lekoyin. I will say, it's actually very interesting. So I will say, and therefore again, so in any of these cases, where what's happening over here, there is there might be a human form, but it's not fully developed, or it's not fully intact, or it's just a piece of flesh. So this will be ultimately, again, haba acharav, the baby that comes after will be the bechor for nachala. Right, so we'll get pishtayim, but ultimately, again, is not the bechor ultimately for pidyon. So the Gemara says, we'll see the logic for that in just a moment. Now, if you want to say that when a woman is mapil kimin behema, that fetus lives, haba acharav lenachala mihavi, why would the baby who comes after it ultimately, again, be the bechor for nachala? Amarava, Rava says, the olam dechaye. The truth is, even if you want to say that if one is mapil kimin behema, that fetus lives, I would still say that ultimately the child who comes after it ultimately is going to be the bechor for nachala. Not why. V'shayni hasan the amakra reishis oh no. I will say ultimately again when the pasuk speaks about pishnayim, who gets pishnayim reishis oh no. So we'll say how do we darshan that? Now we translate that as the first of his seed. Mishalibo dava alav. I will say this would be the type of child, ultimately, again, who the father would mourn for. Yosezeh she'en libo dava alav. This excludes the case of mapil kemin behema, where I will say, ultimately, again, even if you want to say it's alive at the time of birth, it is a non-viable birth. And therefore, again, this baby will die imminently, and therefore, again, there's no connection that is created between the father and the son, and therefore, the father would not quote unquote mourn the loss. I will say, we're not talking about what people mourn or what people don't mourn. We're speaking about the development of relationship. That ultimately, again, only the type of child with whom the father has the capacity to develop a relationship is ultimately, again, the child who is the bechor for nachala. But this type of fetus, even if it's able to survive a little bit, has absolutely no longevity. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, there's no connection. Because there's no connection, there's no pishnayim for nachala. So the Gemara says as follows. So I will say, if we look at Rashi, Mishalibo dava love, leif aviv misabel amoso, hu dechashiv ben le'inye nachala. Good. So I will say, so just so you understand that these halachas are actually quite interesting, because this actually does come up in a case, not necessarily in these extreme cases, when Pelos come up, Pelos come in the Hema, I will say, comes up in the realm of miscarriages. Right? If a woman, Rahman al-San, has a miscarriage, so depending on when she miscarries, depending on how far along she may be, so ultimately, again, that may pater the child who comes afterwards from pidyon aben, from Bechor. But that child may still be ultimately what? The Bechor for Nachala. So you could easily have circumstances where a baby, all right, a son may be the Bechor for inheritance purposes, but is not the Bechor for Pidyon purposes. So let's say the following question. We'll listen to this interesting case. Of course, so it's really fascinating. So according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that behema b'may isha. So what does behema b'may isha means? That if a woman is carrying a fetus that looks like a behema. So we'll say, so ultimately what? According to Rabbi Meir, halacha l'maisa, that is a bona fide vlad. That's a vlad. That is a baby. And therefore, again, the mother would be telling me to masleida. So the Gemara said, listen to this. Adam b'may behema mai. Well, so listen to this case. What happens if a behema is carrying a fetus that looks like a human being? What is the halacha? Now, both say, this is a wild case. So, both say, so the Gemara says, Lamay nafkamina. The Gemara says, can I ask you, like, what does this matter? Both say, watch this. Le'ishtaruye ba'achila. Can you eat it? Can you eat it? Now, both say, now watch this. Now, both say, now look at Rashi just a moment. Adab amai behema, shachta, get ready for this. Shachta umatza bad de musadam. Now, both say, what happens if you shachta behema, and inside the behema, you find the fetus, and the fetus looks like a human being? Mahu, miyam rinon kiyechi de azrabi meir basar ime. Hachin nami zil basar ime vishari lachila. So, both say, do we say as follows? Remember again, Rabbi Meir holds that when a human mother has a fetus that looks like a behema, what's the halacha? Say, what's the status of the fetus? Right? It's like a human being. Right? If it's carried by a human mother, then it's a human baby. And therefore, again, she's tummy tumas lida when she births it. So do we say the same thing? That halacha lamaisa, if a fetus is carried by a behema, it's a behema. And even if it looks like a person, when you open up that animal and you find the fetus inside, halacha lamaisa, you'll be able to eat it. Good. The Gemara says, "V'tiv shot lemi had Rabbi Yochanan." So the Gemara says, "Let's answer this ultimately from Rabbi Yochanan." What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Then Rabbi Yochanan will say an interesting case: "Ha shochet es habehema umatza ba demus yona." What was the interesting case? If you shech, this is a bit more digestible, right? You go ahead and you shech the behema, and what happens? You open it up and you find a fetus. It looks like a bird, looks like a yona, a dove. So what's talacha bosai? Asura ba'achila. Then Rabbi Yochanan holds that what? That halacha lemaisa, it is asr ba'achila. So we'll say, so before we even explain this, with Bepashas, it would mean that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time that the fetus of a behema is mutter with the shechita of its mother is when the fetus looks like the mother. But if the fetus doesn't look like the mother, so even in this case where you're shechting the animal, opening it up, the fetus looks like a behema, looks like a yona, looks like a bird. It's not mutter b'shechita simo. So certainly what? If you shech the behema, you open it up, and inside of it is a fetus, looks like a human baby, then halacha ma'isi, you won't be able to eat it. So Gemara says, not necessarily. Interestingly enough, hachi hashta, hasam, lo parsos ika, v'lo parsik. So you both say, a bird does not resemble an animal at all. Why? Because you both say, not only does a bird not have split hooves, a bird doesn't have a heel. Right? A bird doesn't even have a heel to its foot. However, hacha, nehi de parsos leka, parsa miha ika. But say human beings, right? A human baby, a human fetus, although it does not have split hooves, it does have what? It does have a heel. So in that respect, the human fetus would resemble an animal fetus more than a bird fetus resembles a human fetus. So I will say, so ultimately, again, the Gemara doesn't resolve it. What to do according with, if you open up the animal and find a human fetus inside. But I will say, remember, according to the Chacham, it's not such a shayla. But according, ultimately, again, to Rabbi Meir, it's not clear exactly what to do with that. So I will say, if you remember, again, in general, we saw this discussion back in Chulin, right? About what happens in general, in a more mild case than this, where you shech the mother, open it up, you find the fetus, and the fetus doesn't have simani kashrus. So remember, we saw this case, right? So what are you doing? So we saw machlokes. I don't remember what the halacha is in that case. But again, we saw that was even with an animal fetus. Here, the Gemara is asking him to have a human fetus, or it doesn't answer it. Good. Chacham nechum say kol shein bo. So remember again, the Mishnah, the Chachamim said any fetus that does not look like a human being, ultimately what? Does not render the mother tamei tumas leida. Am Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Am Rav, hakol modim gufo, Taish upanav adam. Well, this is an interesting case. Everyone agrees that if the body of the fetus is like a ram and the face is the face of a person, that's a person. Gufo Adam Upanav Tayish, and if it has the body of a human being and the face of a ram, velo klum. Ultimately, again, such a fetus is nothing. Lo nechluku ela shepanav Adam v'nivra ba'ayin achos kibehema. So we'll say ultimately, this is actually very interesting. So it's an incredible qualifier. So apparently, again, everyone agrees that if the face is a human face, even if the body is like an animal, that's called a human vlad, and therefore what? And therefore, tamei tumas leida. Everyone agrees that if the face is the face of a ram, right? And the body of a human, that it's nothing. It's nothing. That's a behemo. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is supposed to, interestingly enough, where the face resembles a person, but one of the eyes looks like an animal's eye. So we'll say, based on what we saw before, I guess what that would mean is the socket. The socket is misformed a little bit, and the socket looks more like the socket of a behemoth. Shemir Omer, Mitsuras Adam, because Rabbi Meir says, as long as it resembles a person in some way, as long as there's some element of human resemblance, she'll be Tamei Tumas Leida. Bechachamim Omrim Tsurasam. The Chum say no, in order for it to be Tamei Tumas Leida, what has to happen? It has to be fully Tsuras Adam. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Vaha Ibchatanya. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, but we learned just the opposite. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Tsuras. Bechachamim Omrim Mitsuras. Rabbi Meir says that in order ultimately again for the behemoth to be Tmeya, it has to fully resemble a person. And the Chachamim say, even if it partially resembles, so this is actually very interesting. So this is Rabbi Yirmiyah. What does Rabbi Yirmiyah say? Amar lehu, itanya, tanya. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, fine. If that's your version, that's your version. I can't argue with that. I will say, by the way, it's such an incredible idea. Rabbi Meir says, if that's your truth, I can't argue on your truth. I will say it's an incredible yisod in life. You know, sometimes you get into arguments with people, and you know, when talking to a person about an issue, the first thing you have to ask yourself is the person actually open to hearing what you have to say? If the person already has their established truth, and that's right, kitanya tanya, then the truth is there's no need to argue. So ultimately, again, they say to Rabbi Yirmiyah, we have an opposite version of this teaching. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, okay, if that's your truth, if that's your Mesorah, Kitanya Tanya. Good. We'll say that we'll have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Hashem with this next piece tomorrow. I'm going to record the Parashat about Emir Hashem after davening. Shkoyach.